Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we begin Sefer Iyov. This is Perek Aleph, and we're going to look at this inside. The first part of the Sefer runs very much like a narrative and a story, so we're going to follow it inside. We have 22 psukim in this Perek and roughly three sections. The first five psukim are describing Iyov as a tzaddik. The next psukim, Vov to Yud Beis, describe Hashem giving the permission to the Satan, to the agent, to hurt Iyov, and finally psukim Yud Gimel to Chav Beis are Iyov as he was tested and as he stands through that test. Let's take a look at those sections inside briefly. The first section of five psukim Aleph to Hey is Iyov as a tzaddik. The psukim describe that Iyov is a very perfect person. His tam, his pure, v'yashar and straight, v'yirei Elokim and fearing of heaven, and he removed himself from evil. He has seven sons, he has three daughters, he has flocks of 7,000 flocks and 3,000 camels and 500 cattle and 500 she-donkeys and a lot of slaves. He's really a remarkably rich and successful person, and he was, in fact, Gadol Mikol B'nei Kedem, greater than all of the men of the East. So he's a very successful person in all standards. It sounds like whether it be in character or whether it be in assets. And his children will make these feasts, these huge feasts that all come together. They make this huge feast. And at the end of the feast, what would happen was, is Ki Yikivu Shnei HaMishter, Vayishlach Iyov Vayakad Shem, he'd bring sacrifices for the number of his children. Why? Because he says, maybe they didn't treat Hashem right. Maybe they didn't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly during the feast. And therefore he would do this service. The next morning you take the remains of the Seuda and you bring as a sacrifice. Seems like an exemplary person. Before going further, just a few basic questions. We see a number of descriptions, appellations to the name of Iyov. Here we see that he was Tom, Yashar, Yirei Elokim, Sar, and Sar Merah. What does this all mean? So first of all, it's important to recognize that not only was he a good person who was actualizing himself, he was also a person who was not doing evil in the world. Sometimes today we think about our self-actualization, finding the nexus between one's skills and one's interests, and making the use of self-actualization and all that wonderful stuff. Yes, that's great. But there's also the Sur Merah component. There are some tremendously successful people who are real, decrepit human beings. Part of the package we got is something to fix and something to actualize. We can actualize part of it, but we need to make sure we fix the dark corners of our soul as well. And he did was doing both. In fact, the Malbim says that the reason why this introduction is so emphatic upon emphasizing Iyov's goodness is because we're going to see that Iyov is going to suffer terribly. And his friends are going to tell him, Iyov, it's because you did something. Iyov, it's because of who you are. Iyov, there must be something. And Tanakh is telling us, the omniscient reader, that no, there was nothing. He was perfect. He was perfect. He was born innately good. And in fact, he was relatively good. He was resilient, which is how the Malbim proves through these words. There was not a bone to pick with Iyov. Tanakh is telling us before we start the Sefer, so when we read the arguments of his friends, we know that they are ultimately incorrect. We move on a little bit. We're told that, in fact, he comes from the land of Utz. Well, that might help us triangulate where he comes from exactly. Where is Utz? So it turns out it's a Pasuk in Bereishis. In the end of Parshas Vayera, tucked away at the arches after the Akedah, we hear about the children of Nachor and says, Es Utz Becharoi. The first son of Nachor was a person by the name of Utz. So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, here's the proof in the pudding. This man, Utz, must be the person who is Iyov. That's why he lives the Eretz Utz, in the land of Utz. And the Ibn Ezra says, and don't ever think that he's a parable or mashal. He must have been true because, as we saw in the introduction, in the introductory podcast, Yechezkel quotes him of Noach, Daniel, and Iyov. So it must be that he lived. However, as we saw, many of the Mepharshim, based on the Gemara of Basra, suggest that he was a parable. He lived at all ages. He is a person who's found in every generation. How do we understand the word Utz if it's not going to be a geographical location? Rashi gives us one possibility, and that comes from the word Eitzah. He came from a place who had Eitzah Ra'ah. He came from a bad environment, whether it be Aram Naharaim, the area where the Tower of Babel was made. But the point is, this is a person who lived in a decrepit, morally decrepit society, which in fact emphasizes even more so his goodness. The fact that he was good in such a society, even despite the mores of society around him. That's what's understood here more metaphorically than geographically. You see, by the way, just something interesting to notice, and that is that the dimensions of his children are 7-3, 7 boys, 3 girls, 7 and 3 in terms of some of his livestock, 7,000 and 3,000. Obviously, this is being told to us to convey us a message, and I believe that part of that message is that Rashi tells us in the third pasuk over here that when it says, Gadol mikol b'nei kerem, he was greater than all the men of the east. Rashi already comments to say that he was not as great as Avraham Avinu, who was HaGadol. He was, quoting Apostle Ken Yoshua, he was the great one of the Anakim. Why? Because he, in fact, was able to overcome the 10 tests which Hashem presented in front of him, whereas Eov was not. Eov failed earlier on. And this, in fact, the Gemara inserts Avraham Avinu as part of the conversation, part of the comparison the Satan brings up, is comparing him to Avraham Avinu, which is where the Gemara gets it from. Now, to understand that in fullness, that means to say that part of the framing of who Eov is framed by the 7373 dimension of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, which he is ultimately going to face his own set of. Okay, last point in this section is, why would Eov be bringing all these karbonos? So Rav Soloveitchik, in his essay called Kol Dodi Dofek, based on a speech he gave in 1956 in Yiddish, which is translated now into Hebrew and Yiddish, he says a very powerful thing. He says that, you know, this was actually already a small deficiency in Eov. Yes, he was looking after his kids, he was making sure to bring karbonos, lest they perhaps were maybe not behaving or thinking in the appropriate way during that meal the night before. But you know what? He was only praying for his own. And there's something deficient about praying for one's own only. One needs to be praying about the entire generation. That's why the release of this story, the tension is released at the very end in Perek Mem Beis, the 42nd chapter, when Eov prays for his friends. When you're able to think beyond yourself, that's the resolution of Eov, and that perhaps we might see the hairline fracture at this point in time. Let's move to the second section. The section is where Hashem is giving rishus to the Satan, to permission to the Satan. What happens? It says, "Vayi Hayom, it was the day, the Bnei Elohim, the sons of power, or this means to say some sort of angelic host, came to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Satan comes among them." And Hashem says to the Satan, "Where are you coming from?" So he says, "Oh," the Satan says, "I was walking around, I was Shatati b'chol aretz, I was going from the around the whole land." And Hashem says, "You know, did you see Abdi Eov, my servant Eov? Ein kamayu b'aretz, no one like him. Ish tam yirei lokim samira, amazing fellow." And Satan says, "You know what? Hachilam yirei Eov elokim. Well, of course, is it for nothing that he serves God? Atosachta bada, you protected him. You gave him everything. You gave him everything he needs. Take that away from him, he wouldn't fear you. So Hashem says, "You know what? You can go. I'm going to give him in your hands, but just don't kill him. Rak elov al tishlach yodcha. Don't hurt him." That's what happened, and that's what's about to happen. Let's stop the section right now. This is the second section. What? Just a question. Who's the Satan exactly? What is this? So the classic way of understanding this is that Vayhi Hayom, it was on that day, means what's day? The day is Rosh Hashanah. We're in the celestial courtroom right now. Eov is now in the docket. And the Satan is the prosecuting agent. The Bnei Elohim, those other angels, are the defendants for Eov. And they're going through his records and they're saying, does he deserve, does he not deserve? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's fantastic, he's fine. And the Satan says, yeah, he's fine because you gave him an easy ride. So therefore, that's what's happening over here. And the Satan is fighting against the defendants. However, I'd like to raise a suggestion which is brought by the Ibn Ezra in the name of Rav Sadia Gaon. And I think it's one of the most terrifying things I read in this entire parak. He says, "You know what? The Satan wasn't an angel. He was Ben Adam HaMikanevi Eov. He was some neighbor. He was some person who was jealous. Eov, the famous. Eov, the exemplary. Eov, the mayor. Eov, the politician. Eov, the CEO. Eov, the dad, the granddad." And there was somebody who sat there watching all of that and just couldn't be happy. Couldn't be happy that somebody else was doing well. And his castigations and his mutterings and his rumors finally reached the divine palace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You know what? Because this person opened up those books, maybe I do have to open up those books of accusations and mutterings that person mentioned." What a terrifying, terrifying thing, which means to say, you know, the Satan could be. It could be each of us as we look across at our neighbor's yard and their cars and their family. We mutter under our breaths and we're not intellectually honest with ourselves when we salivate as we see their property and possessions and perspective and achievements. That's who the Satan could have been, says Rav Sadia Gaon. Terrifying, terrifying. God forbid let any of us ever be a Satan to another person. Now, what's the claim of the Satan exactly? He says, you know, tasachta about it, you protected him. So classically, Rashi understands that what it means is that you never gave him a test. You made it an easy laugh. No opposition, no tension in his laugh. That's why he's a good guy. Give me a laugh like that, it would be different. But the Malvin says, no. You made him so successful, you diversified him so much, you made him completely vulnerable. Eov needs you, Hashem. He needs you to protect his assets, to protect his family, to protect his health. He's so spread out. Well, you know what? He can't go against you because he needs you. But what happens if he no longer needs you? Will he still dive into you? Different perspective, the Malvin says, in terms of what the claim is. Let's move to the last section of this. This is already a painful section to read, this last section of the Perek, where it describes how they were having a festive party, and an angel comes to a messenger comes to Eov and says, "Oh yeah, 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 there was something that your flocks were out in pasture, and there was this war host came and took them and killed the shepherds, and I was the only one who survived." As he's talking, another messenger walks in and says, "Oh yeah, 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 fire came from the heavens and it consumed all the rest of your flocks, and I was the only one who survived." And as this person is speaking, in walks a third messenger and says, "You know, there was a war host and it came up and it destroyed all your camels and took them and killed all your shepherds and took them all into captivity." So all the different parts of his livestock were taken. And as he's speaking, a fourth person comes and says, "You know, your children were having a festive feast. There was this terrible wind which came from the desert, and it pulled the house down and killed every last one of them." One, two, three, four sets of news coming like that at Eov. Eov gets up. Vayikra'es me'iloi, he does kriya, he tears his shirt. He pulls vayogoz es reshoi, vayipol aretz vayishtachu, he prostrates himself. And he says, "You know what, I came naked into this world with nothing, and I'm going to return naked, everything I have is gone." And he says the famous words which we say in Tzedakah Kadin at the end of a funeral, "Hashem nosan, v'Hashem lokach, Hashem gave, Hashem took, yi shem Hashem avarach, let Hashem's name be blessed, v'chol zois lechata Eov," and he didn't sin. He did not make any accusations. What a remarkable, remarkable thing. The Malbim points out, quoting the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam, that the three types of evil can befall a person in life: a natural disaster, ill inflicted by another human being, and illness as a consequence of one's loose lifestyle. The first two are inflicted upon Eov in quick succession. You notice that he doesn't have time to recover between each round of this. And Rav Shimon Schwab points out in his Pirush on Eov that the name that Eov uses to attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the name Yud Hei Vav Hei, the Shem Havaya. That's the name of Rachamim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of mercy of Hashem. He doesn't say the name of Din, Elohim, which means to say, if you can imagine how a human being could possibly even muster up the energy to say this conceivably, honestly. He says, you know, you should serve Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha with all your heart and soul v'chol moedecha. The Gemara in Bracha says, what does it mean b'chol moedecha? It means b'chol mido mido shemoedel lecha, hevi moedelai. Anything Hashem gives you, anything Hashem throws in your face, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love Him. It's Hashem Elokecha. You see it as an act of love. Eov was there. What a remarkable, remarkable success of this first Nisayon that he succeeds in. In fact, so much so that the next Perek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Satan, how could you take away so much for naught? Because look, he still came by with flying colors. This ends the first test. This ends the first chapter of Eov. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.